All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter number 1. Psalms, chapter number 1. I come out of a service Friday night preaching. I couldn't even hear myself half the time for the amens and the preacher and bring us a book and all of that. So I probably would like to hear at least 2 amens this morning, maybe, if we could work that out. But I don't have to have that this morning, amen. Psalms chapter number 1, starting our verse number 1, the reading in verse number 1. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's pray and you be seated. Father, we ask you this morning that you would direct our thoughts and that you would help us this morning to say what you want said and to deal with this very important, very visible subject this morning. May your will to be done, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've been studying in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, on the subject of the pursuit of happiness. And the very first word is the word blessed. Blessed is the man. Blessed is that individual. Blessed is that person. Not that group. Not blessed is that congregation. Not blessed is that nation. And I know there's blessings on nations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But here it's not on a nation. It's not even on a congregation. It's not on a group. But it's on a man, on a person, an individual. Sometimes the word man is used in the Bible to identify mankind or humanity. And the case here, it is identifying the individual human being, the individual personal person. And your salvation is personal, your spiritual life is personal, and you being blessed is personal. You being happy is personal. You having the joy of the Lord in your heart is a personal thing. Blessed is the man. And if you raise your hand, you say, I'm one. God doesn't require 2 here. God requires 1. Blessed is the man. I believe it shows us here in verse 1 that God is really wanting to bless individuals. God wants to bless. I don't believe it's his will that we go around individually sad, down in the dumps, dragging our tracks out, talking about how it used to be. I don't believe that's the will of God. Amen, that's right. I believe God says to our hearts in Philippians chapter 3, I press toward the mark. Not the beginning mark, not the starting line, Brother Mark, but the finishing mark, the finish line. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're to forget those things which are behind. We're to forget them in that we do not let them influence us, control us, dictate to us how we are, how we feel, you know, what we're going to do or not do for the Lord. Amen, that's right. Oh yeah, we're jointly fit together as a body, but God wants us to also have an independent relationship with Him. That regardless to what others do, that you purpose in your heart, I'm going on and serving and honoring and pleasing the one who called me to be a soldier. So he's identifying the blessed man, and then that is in contrast, it's so clear in the chapter, to the ungodly man. And there ought to be a distinction. There ought to be a very visible very real distinction, difference between the godly and the righteous. And of course, we're dealing with the pursuit of happiness. And in verse number one, we talked about, in verse number one, there's three levels here in verse 1, 2, and 3. Verse one, there is the detachment level. A lot of people are not happy and they don't have the happiness that comes from the Lord, amen, which is the real happiness, real joy. The world knows nothing of it, can't produce it because, amen, they don't know how to do it. Happiness to the world is being popular. Happiness to the world is being prosperous or possessing material possessions. But happiness that comes from the Lord can be experienced in a jail cell with nothing. Amen. Paul and Silas exhibited that in Acts 16 in the Philippian jail. Amen. It's not how much you've got, it's who has you. It's not who you know on a horizontal level, but do you know the Lord this morning? Amen. And I want to be a happy Christian. There's nothing spiritual about sadness. Amen, that's right. There's nothing spiritual about sadness. If a lost person come in here this morning and sat behind you or sat on your pew, sat where they could see you and watch you during the service, during the song service, during the preaching service, during the Sunday school hour, I wonder would they be impressed? Amen, that's right. Nothing impresses me at all about somebody, anybody, whether it's me, you, or whoever, that comes in the house of God and looks at the floor the whole service. Amen, that's right. Act like it'd be the unpardonable sin if you were to smile. God ain't in a million miles of that, and I surely hope it's not contagious because I don't even want my dog to catch it. Say amen right there. What is joyful, what is impressive is when sinners can look around and see you singing about, I'm amazed that he loved me. And it's not just words, it shows up on your countenance. You got a smile on your face. Amen, you act like it's real in your soul. And you got, amen, a tear in your eye because of appreciation and gratitude that you're not burning in the flames of hell this morning. That God loved you and saved you and you belong to him and he's got eternal plans for you. Hallelujah, that's right. We ought to be a joyful church this morning. Amen. All of us today, we could pass the microphone around. Every one of us in here could mention something negative. We all have something to complain about. We all have some things that can be changed in our life. Some things that can be changed, and if it can be changed, we're to change it. But if it can't be changed, sometimes we just have to accept it and say, well, I can't fix that no way. I didn't ask for that anyhow. That nobody got my permission on it. And so I'm just going to deal with it. And we're purposing our heart that we're going on. Amen. Amen. You can be happy in hard times. You can be happy when things are going on in your life that are not really happy things. Amen. The happy new year that we all get wished. Maybe it's not a happy new year. Maybe it's the worst year of your life, but you can still have happiness. Why? Because your happiness does not depend on happenings. Your happiness comes from a relationship to the Lord Jesus. Amen. But verse number one deals with that detachment level. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Amen. We ought to listen. A lot of people are not happy because of who they have attached to their life. Amen. Amen. We're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly because we don't believe like them. We're not to stand in the way of sinners because we don't behave like them. And we don't sit in the seat of the scornful because we don't belong in that position. We don't belong in that crowd. This is my crowd. This is my crowd. Church folk is my crowd. Are you listening? Didn't used to be that way. Used to be it was that dancing crowd, that doping crowd, drinking crowd. Hey, man, that stupid crowd, that sinning crowd, that use of breath that God give you to blaspheme his name. That was that crowd that I'd run with for 20 years. But I want to tell you, when God saved me, buddy, He took me out of that crowd. Amen. I have no desire to be in that crowd. And He hooked me up with the righteous. He hooked me up with them King James Bible toters. He hooked me up with Bible preaching. He hooked me up with Jesus lovers. Amen. This is my crowd. And my crowd is not to be morbid. My crowd is not to be down in the dumps. Amen. My crowd ought to wear a smile and let the world know that we are blessed because we have been forgiven. Amen. Same word used in verse 1 is used in chapter 32. Blessed is he whose sins have been forgiven. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't nothing political about that. There's nothing economic about that. There's no material connections to that. Have you been forgiven? Is your sin been covered? God said you're a blessed person. Not just blessed positionally, you're blessed practically. Hey, man, that's right. Well, preacher, if you was going through what I was going through, no, maybe we could reverse it. Maybe if you was got the load on you that I've got on me. Say amen right there. We've all got things going on in our life. Happiness, are y'all listening? Happiness comes from a spiritual condition, not from situational circumstances. Well, I thought I was going to get done this morning. Amen. I've been puny all the whole month of January, missed more church because of sickness, the whole month of January, and I have in years because of sickness. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to have the microphone on this morning. I'm glad to be able to say, open your Bibles. Amen. I'm glad to be able to have some air in my lungs. Amen. Among the other things from Mars and Jupiter that I've had in my lungs for the past month, I'm glad to be able to be here this morning. Amen. I'm happy to be here. Brother Bob said this morning, what was it you said when you woke up? Said you woke up with what about that? Said I woke up this morning with a smile on my face and joy in my heart. And he said, that's been years. It's been a long time since that's happened. Amen. Let me spell joy for you. Let me spell it for you in case you need it. It's not J-O-Y, it's J-E-S-U-S. Jesus, he's your joy. He's your friend. Amen. But verse number 1 deals with that ground level, that detachment level of happiness. Verse number 2 deals with the delightment level or that growth level of happiness. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Verse 1 is negative. Verse 2 is positive. Amen. If I wonder, and I do wonder, where is the delightment factor among God's people? I do wonder that. Where is the delightment? It didn't say his delight is in situations and approval and acceptance. No, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Amen. Maybe if you've got a problem with verse 2 of delightment, maybe you're still stuck with a problem in verse 1. Amen? Because you can't get to verse 2 without coming through verse number 1. Verse 1 is the detachment level of happiness, ground level, basics. Verse number 2 is that delightment level, that growth level of happiness. That's when you turn your focus to the Word of God, and the Word of God is your delight. The Word of God and the God of the Word is your delight, and you have real experienced joy and delightment and pleasure from the Word of God. Amen. When you, well, amen. I don't need to re-preach that. You just have to get the tape. So now we come into verse number 3. We went through the ground level into the growth level. Now verse 3 is the goal level, G-O-A-L. This is the goal that God's trying to get you to when he's dealing with you in verse 1, when he's trying to delight you in verse 2. He's trying to get you to verse number 3. God, can I say this morning, God has a goal in mind for you. God really does, when he saves you, have plans to take you somewhere. And I'm not just talking about taking you to heaven one day. I'm talking about He has plans to take you somewhere in this life. He's desiring to take you to different levels in this life of service and intimacy and joy and purpose in your life. Amen. But you come into verse number 3, note how this word changes. Verse number 1 deals, the whole verse deals with what you are to do or to not do. What you're not to do. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse number 2, he comes into what you are to do. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he comes through what you're not to do and what you are to do. But verse number 3 is not what you are to do. And verse number 3 is not what you're not to do. Verse number 3 deals with what you are to be. Look how it starts out. And he shall be. Not he shall do or he shall not do, Brother Rob. It says, but and he shall be. God, through the verse 1 of not doing, verse 2 of doing, is trying to get you into verse 3 of being. It's a lot easier to be to do the Christian thing and to not do the unchristian thing if we are, in fact, being a Christian. He said in verse number 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Well, that's good, ain't it? I like that. I mean, listen, it's so clear. It's so clear, and I want you to get this morning. I don't know if I'll get done with it. I wanted to. I'm ready to go on to something else, but maybe God didn't want that yet. Because maybe we hadn't got it yet. I was praying about it the other day. I said, Lord, I've done preached, I don't know, 4 or 5 messages on the pursuit of happiness. I said, Lord, I don't see much of it still. And I said, Lord, I just really don't know if we're getting it. So I got in this hurry up. I'm going to hurry up and get through this and put it on a CD and maybe somebody will get it in the future or something and go on and preach something else. That's not encouraging, is it? I'll never forget preaching the 23 messages out of 2 Peter 1, you know, add to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and all that, and preached on stirred and staying stirred. 23 messages. Some of you were here when I preached that series. 23, I'm talking about God got us in there and just squeezed the juice out of it. 23 messages, preached my heart out. That's 23 services, Brother Fultz, on stirred and staying stirred. And after I preached all of that, one of the men of the church came to me and said, Preacher, I hate to tell you this. I said, what? We didn't get it. We didn't get it. And we didn't get it. But God gave it anyhow. Amen. So I don't know if we're happy or not happy, but amen, we're en route of it. And he shall be. Listen, verse number 1, God is trying to get you out of and get out of you some things. Verse number 2, God is trying to get in you and you get in the word in verse 2. But verse 3, God is trying to get you to a place that he might get through you some things. That's what the fruit is that's bore in that tree. He shall be like a tree planted. And he goes through there and he talks about his fruit and all of that. What is fruit? It's life being brought through that tree. Amen. Brother Ivan testified about the fruit hanging on the tree. You know the purpose of the existence of a tree is to reproduce itself. How many's been out in the woods and you see all these little oaks growing? You see all these small little saplings growing from inches to a few feet, or maybe some of them as big as my thumb, some of them big as my wrist, some big as my leg. All of them at different stages of growth. They're different in height. They're different in size. But then you wonder, where did these come from? Where did this little one come from? Where did that one come from? And right over there, you look over there, and there's an oak this big around, amen. Or over here, you look and see a stump. and an old a log laying there that's an evidence of a life that used to be, a life that's already passed through here, that dropped seeds and planted seeds and, amen, let the wind blow through its limbs and pollinate itself, amen, and reproduce itself. Amen. Amen. Boy, I like that book title Brother Mark mentioned in Sunday school this morning. I'd like to read that or find it sometime. What was the name of it again? About outliving your life? Are you outliving your life, or will you outlive your life? What are you doing? What am I doing that's going to outlive me? Peter was concerned about that. He said, I'm going to stir you up by putting you in remembrance that after my decease, he said, you will, and he goes and talks about how that you'll continue to be stirred and you'll pass on these truths to other generations. Amen. You ever think about that? What am I leaving behind? Do you ever think about that? Success without succession is failure. Amen. But anyway, God is trying to get me to something by working in me and working out of me some things in verse 1 and 2. Amen. He deals with me outwardly, verse 1. He deals with me inwardly, verse number 2. But verse 3, he deals with me. Listen, he deals with me upwardly as a tree is growing. But then the purpose of that tree is to reproduce. So he's actually dealing with me onwardly. He's wanting me to go onward and my life to make a difference. Let me just go through these real quick. The first thing that he said about this, he shall be like a tree, is that first he said it's planted. He said the first thing I want you to note after you've come through verse 1 and 2 and you get into verse 3, God says this person that's a blessed man because of the negative that God has worked in his life in verse 1 and the positive that he's worked in his life verse number 2, now he's going to be like a tree that is planted. When you think about a tree being planted, you're thinking about the placement of a tree. You're thinking about life. You're thinking about purpose of a tree. Amen. You're not an accident in this life. It don't matter if nobody else thought about you. It don't matter if mom and dad even planned on you being here. That is beside the point. You're here today. Amen. You are here on purpose. That's right. And God has planted you, listen, as far as geographically, God has planted you in the Bible Belt. God has planted you where you've been exposed to truth. Think about your mom and daddy raising you, grandparents raising you, the preaching you've been exposed to in your life. Most of us had more gospel and truth exposed to us before we was 3 years old than most people on planet Earth will have in their lifetime. I'm telling you, I didn't choose to be born in North Carolina. I didn't choose to be born in a godly home and be raised in a Bible preaching church. I didn't choose that. No, I was planted there. So when you think about the term planted, you're thinking about life and growth and purpose as well as placement. Bloom where you're planted. How many times we've heard that? Amen. Brighten the corner where you're at. Grow to the ground where God puts you. Make a difference where you are. You'll never make, listen, come on now. You'll never amount much for God always looking at greener pastures elsewhere. Well, if I was somewhere else. Oh, if I was somebody else. If I had a different preacher. If I was going to a different church. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen, that's right. Grow where you're at. Bloom where you're at. Because I promise you this, what I've seen in my life in my 36 years of preaching, if you don't do it where you're at, you won't do it wherever you go. Well, if I was over there, it'd be faithful, negative. If I was over there, it'd have a little joy, a little happiness. I doubt it. Amen. That's right. I want to be planted, don't you? When you think about the term planting, the very term to be planted refutes inconsistent lives. A tree that's planted is consistent. Amen? We're eat up with inconsistency. The only thing we're consistent about around here mostly is that we're inconsistent. We're very consistent and very faithful at being not faithful. I mean, we've got some that are faithful, and then we got some that hit a lick here and there. Amen. It depends on which way the wind's blowing. They go outside on the porch on Sunday morning, lick their lips and say, no, wrong wind today. I'm going back in here and rest, maybe come next. Preach, I might come next Sunday. Amen right there. Hey, I guarantee you, I won't nail it no tighter than God's Word nails it. Amen. It's still in the book. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Well, I've got to go. Some of you don't want me to get on that. But when you deal with being planted, you're talking about somebody that's refuting instability, unpredictable. Amen. God said, you come through verse 1 and 2. He said, I'm trying to get you into verse 3 where you're a tree that's planted. You've got a root system. You've got a place you occupy. You've got a place you belong. Hey, man. That's the very thing that's kept me faithful here over the years when it got tough. And don't you think for a second that there hadn't been tough times that we went through. God has never brought anybody to something unless He first brought them through something. Amen. God, when He's taking you through something, you're to tell yourself, I don't like this, it don't necessarily feel good, but He's taking me somewhere. The book of Psalms talks about Joseph when he was in Potiphar's wife lied on him and they put him in the prison and he had the stocks. I don't remember if it was Psalms, it was one of the Psalms. It was talking about Joseph and he said it hurts. Joseph, the greatest example in our Bible of Jesus, over 100 times he's a type of Christ. But yet he was in a time when he had stocks around his ankles, Brother Jeff, and he said in the Word of God, it hurts. But guess what God was doing in that hurt? God was taking him to a throne. God was using that did not feel good, that did not feel good. God was taking him to an elevated position to where his life could influence the next generation. You say, preacher, what I'm going through don't feel good. You say this, God's using it. I don't like it. I'd choose different if I had the choice, but I didn't choose it. Now I've got these things that hurts in my life, and I'm dealing with it. God is taking me somewhere. Amen. Amen. But it's planted. First thing it said was he's planted. It's planted. And I know I won't get off this one. The second thing it says about a tree is not only it's planted. Everybody listening up? The second thing is that it's perpendicular. That is, it's standing straight up. And listen, perpendicular is right the opposite of parallel. Most people today, Brother Fultz, wants to have a parallel life. Can I show you the level of parallel? Right there it is. In other words, parallel is that your life is on the same level as the world. People wonder where their happiness is, Brother Frankie, and their whole life, their choices, their direction in life is dictated by the level of the world. They just run a parallel course, amen, with the world. But when he said a man comes through verse 1 and 2 and gets into verse 3, he's a tree that's planted. Thank God, I'm telling you, he's perpendicular. He defies that parallel life. He defies that parallel life. And we have right here an example. Everybody see this right here? If you can't see it, move to where you can. Y'all see this? Parallel life, that's what I was when I was lost. Perpendicular life, I couldn't do it. But Jesus Christ came down here and became one of us. He got on our level. He became the Son of Man. He became one of us. Amen. But yet at the same time, He remained holy. He remained upright. He remained, amen, everything that God wanted. Are y'all listening? And if you take the parallel line of what man is, and you take the vertical perpendicular line of what man could never be, Jesus Christ came here and He became what I was while remaining what God is and what I'll never be. And through the blood of His cross, God takes what I was and what I need to be and puts it together and makes a plus sign out of it. Hallelujah. If you take just the parallel line, guess what that is in and of and by itself? It's a minus sign. Long as you live your life as a lost person, I want to tell you all you'll and be geared by the level of the world. Your focus, some of you young people's like that. Your focus is like this. It's not here. It's not, oh God, help me to grow tall for you. Help me, Lord, to make a difference for you. No. It's, and you wonder where your happiness is. You're focusing on that parallel level right here, which is a minus sign. A negative in your life, and you wonder, why in the world am I not happy, preacher? Say amen right there. It's in the cross, buddy, where you find your joy, find your happiness. Man, that got big to me, buddy. God came and become what I was, that parallel, earthly, worldly, the world level, but yet He never laid aside His deity, and He never laid aside His holiness. He remained upright in everything, His thoughts, His actions. Don't ever believe for a second that He could have sinned. He never could have sinned. He never did sin. Amen. He never thought a bad thought. He never was nowhere at all, even a shady deal. So He could be our Savior. This tree was planted, and this tree was perpendicular. Some of you, listen, God help us, those of us that knows it, God help us to be refreshed in it this morning, that if we're going to be happy in light of what the Bible shows us about true happiness, we need to focus our attention on a vertical life. Everybody in here that's saved, I want you to point up. If you're saved, I want you to point up. You know what you're doing right there? You're pointing in the direction that God wants you to be focused and that God wants you to be growing in. Any tree, Brother Fultz, any tree on planet Earth, it doesn't matter if it's on a mountaintop, on the side of a mountain, or in a valley, guess which direction it grows in, Brother Jeff? God puts it in a tree when it's planted, thank God, to grow toward the S-U-N. Grow toward the sun. Amen. We're to grow toward the S-O-N. Amen. That's shining in our life. There's a pull that comes from the sun. I remember my first house in South Carolina, a little small 925 square feet house. Wasn't big as a flea, couldn't hardly live in it. Old house. We had one visitor come and stay with us and fell plumb through the bathroom floor. I mean, that's just the way it was. We couldn't do no better. Piece together lawnmowers, duct tape them together, go to yard sales, people give me stuff. I'd take a motor off of this one, a muffler off of that one, a deck off of this, a wheel off of that one. Hey, man, and piece it together and mow with it, or try to mow with it. But out there in my little shed, Brother Rob, I had an old, whoever lived there years ago, built a little shed there. It wasn't big as nothing. Dirt floor. You know, just old dirt floor and put tools in there and stuff. And I'll never forget it. I still remember it's vivid this morning. That in the summertime when the heat's up, you know, and the suns are shining hot, I've been in there before. And on the bottom side, I never would go in there because I didn't know what creatures from the Blue Lagoon was in there. I didn't know. I mean, I had faith to keep the door closed. I opened it, I noticed something one day. I noticed something growing through the wall. I'm talking about, I kept it closed. But of course, it's just old slats, you know, there's cracks in it. And there, growing, I opened that door. I got curious. I opened that door, and way back there in a corner, behind some stuff, under some stuff, started growing a sawbriar. And that thing grew up and over and down and around and over and under and through and around, and it kept going around. I mean, it was probably 12 to 15 foot long, Brother Carroll, growing, and you know where it was growing? It was a hunting the sun, and it found one little crack. It found one little crack, and guess what? It, hey. It was like it was saying, I know I may be planted back in a dark corner. I know there's a lot of obstacles in the way. And it may look like I'm going to be shut down because I'm shut up. Hey, the door's closed and nobody wants me to grow. But just a little ray of light would come through that crack. And amen, germinated that seed. And that thing began to grow. And it began to grow. I'm telling you, it wasn't growing straight. It grew up over and then it'd grow down and around and over and up and over, amen, until it got to that crack. And then it started growing through that crack. Hey, headed for the S-U-N. Oh my goodness, I don't know where you're planted this morning. It may seem to be dark. It may seem to be out of everybody's focus, and the door may be shut in your life. I want to tell you, if you'll just look around, somewhere God will let the S-O-N shine through the crack of your life, amen, and grow toward the sun. Amen. Hey, man, that's right. Grow toward the sun. Hallelujah, that's right. That parallel life reveals your devotion and allegiance to the world as you grow according to it. That parallel life reduces your distance from the world. As the further you grow, you stay the same. Your look at your life this morning. You're looking at your life spiritual if you're saved this morning, and see if you're growing away from the world. If you're growing further and further, the further you go, you're getting taller and higher, and the space between you and the world is getting more distant. Our churches are filled with people that have been saved for years, and they're still on their life toward the world, same distance today as it was ever how many years ago. I asked this question preaching Friday night, and you've heard me mention it. I asked Brother Buster Mullins, of course I didn't mention his name, but I asked Brother Buster Mullins, how many spiritual people would you have to lose? And you know, we all know what kind of caliber of preacher and prayer warrior that man is, Bible student. He said, preacher, how many would you have to lose? How many key people would you have to lose the spirituality of your church? And he said, 12 to 15. And I didn't mention his name nor the church. Well, I was preaching Friday night. I said, now if you want to know, you can ask me after the service. So we went to Cookout. That's a good spiritual place to go. So we went to Cookout after the service and was trying to get us a little bite to eat. And one of the preachers came to me from Pennsylvania. He said, preacher, who was you talking about in your message? And I said, Brother Buster Mullins. He said, oh my goodness. He knew him. And he hung his head. He said, preacher, I run probably 250 in my church. And he said, preacher, I don't think I've got 15. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, there is something wrong with that, that churches can have 100, 125, 250, or whatever else, and the man of God say, I don't have but about 12 to 15 spiritual people with their shoulder upon the load, helping to carry the load prayerfully, helping to carry the load financially, helping to carry the load ministerially. Amen. You think that's the will of God? You know what the problem that is? Most of the people in church are governed by this level right here. They're growing, but they're not getting any further. Oh, they're letting the world dictate how high they go instead of letting the sun. Parallel life removes your difference. You're not different. You're on the same level. But that perpendicular, and by the way, the word perpendicular just simply means, in definition, it means to be upright, straight up, vertical, opposite to parallel. Oh, yeah. Amen. And as you grow upward, the biggest part of the tree always remains to be ground level. You'll never outgrow verse 1. Never in your life. That's ground level. The biggest part of the tree. You'll never grow upward tall in verse 3 until you keep the base of your life big in verse number 1 and in verse 2. Amen. In fact, how many's cut down a tree before? Where do you, Brother Aaron, where do you cut it down at? Say what? You go to ground level if you're wanting to cut a tree down. Go to verse 1, cut the tree down in verse 1, and you've killed it. Take away that detachment principle. Take away the separation principle, and you've killed the tree. Listen to this. I know I mentioned this, that it's like Christ. He became what I was while remaining to be what I was not so that he could save me. But this also represents the two natures that you have. You have this, you have the parallel nature in you, and it don't matter how much you try to religiousize it. That's probably not a word. You can baptize it, churchize it, and all of that, but your flesh nature is always going to be the parallel line. Your flesh nature loves to be parallel to this world. But also inside of a believer is another nature, a new nature, the divine nature, and that is that nature that wants to be vertical, that nature that wants to be completely opposite to the ungodly nature, that nature in you that wants to be like Christ, amen? Which one's winning in your life? Which one is winning in your life financially? Boy, there's a preacher down there, preached to the young men, amen, on the prototype of what a man's supposed to be, and he looked at Adam and how one of those features that God put in Adam was that he was to dominate, that he was to be a ruler, and he started preaching to a lot of the preachers that can't even rule over their plate and their fork. Amen, that's what he said. I mean, he got plain. He said, don't blame it on no thyroid when you go to the back to the mega bar 47 times. He's talking about ruling. God says we're to rule. And you can't even rule over your appetite. You can't even rule over your flesh. And then he went on and said, some of you can't even rule over your finances. You spend money you don't even have. You can't even tithe because you're so in debt and you're trying to save up and buy this or buy that. And when it's tithing scriptural, you can't even give to missions, amen. Because you're so given to covetousness and you're so given to the lust of the eyes and I've got to have a bigger this and a newer that when you don't have enough money to buy a piece of bubble gum. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, did you like that? You better believe I liked it. Amen. Amen. I guarantee it. I don't look at the books. I'm depressed enough. But I guarantee you 20% of this church don't tithe. 80% of this church don't tithe. I guarantee you that's right. Do you notice how quiet it got right there? You get close to that pocketbook, it's like, oop. Amen. Putting a little pinch in here and there, that's not tithing. Tithing is systematic. Tithing is systematic that comes off the gross. Say amen right there. You say, preacher, nobody knows if I do or don't. Jesus does. You know what Malachi calls you? You're robbing God. We want the blessings of God while we're robbing God. That don't make a lick of sense. Hey, you hear me? Listen, read my lips if you can't hear. I want you to know that by the grace of God, I refuse to quit giving to missions, and I refuse to quit tithing and giving above that. You say, why do you give above your tithe? I'll tell you why. For all them years that I didn't give nothing. All those years that I never give nothing. Oh, preacher, oh, Lord, I should have known I'm in a Baptist church. The money's coming up. Yeah, you're probably one of the guilty ones. First thing God worked in my heart, Brother Carroll, I'm talking about the first thing besides being faithful to church, God worked in me when he saved me was to be a scriptural, systematic giver to the work of God. Why? God said so to do. Amen. I knew that didn't go over too good. That's right. Amen. You can't grow straight up. You can't grow straight up in your spiritual life financially because you're wanting to grow this way and that way and have everything that Tom, Dick, and Harry's got, amen, and drive and own and have and live and wear everything that Hollywood has. Say amen right there. You might as well say amen right there. Some of you don't have a lick of happiness in your life because you're not right with God in some areas that you're responsible for. Amen. That's Bible preaching right there, buddy. What's keeping you from growing up? Psalms 92, we might as well dig it out. I ain't no need me trying to get on past it. Psalms 92, verse 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. You ever seen a palm tree uprooted? Hardly ever see it. Why? Because they've got an exceedingly big and long tap root. Amen. And the fibers of that palm tree is literally saturated with lubricant resins that allows the storms to whip it like it looks like it's going to break it and bend it and uproot it and everything. But when the wind's over and the dark clouds are gone and the sun's are shining again, guess what? It goes whoop. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. We go through this and that and the other, and it bends us this way and it bends us that way, and we take a lick financially and we take a lick physically and we take a lick relationally and all of that, but then all of it, and people's watching you and they're thinking, oh Lord, they're going to break. They're going to break. They're not going to make it. And next thing you know, they're standing up in their pew with a songbook in their hand singing and listening and bringing their Bible to church. Amen. Are you growing up? You say the more you grow, are you getting taller away from the world? God's word said they planted by the rivers of water. That's not to make you look good. I wrote that down this morning. God put them, Brother Carroll, God put them by the rivers of, planted them by the rivers of water, not so that they would look good. Wasn't for their looks, it was for their life. Why? Here, come on. Here it is. Amen. Here it is. God intends for the tree to absorb what's in the river. Doesn't plant you by the rivers of water. Amen. Just so you can look like a vacation Christian. He puts you by there that no matter how hot it is and how dry it is, that you are absorbing, thank God, what's in the river. And running water in the Bible is a type of the Spirit of God. Are you listening? And water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. Listen, it may be dry and hot and barren around us, but thank God we're drawing and we're absorbing water of the Spirit in the Scriptures. Well, amen. We are having a time. Write these down. I'm not going to preach them. I'm just going to write them down. I wish I could preach them. Not only is it planted and it's perpendicular, it grows straight up, but also it's productive. The Bible said in verse number 3 that it bringeth forth his fruit, bringeth forth his fruit. Everybody ought to be interested in bearing fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. John 15. Are you productive? Fruit is expected. Fruit is evidence. And fruit is an extension of what you are. Amen. God's not just trying to get you out, verse 1, and get you in, verse number 2, but he's trying to get things through you in verse 3. Patient. Not only is he planted and perpendicular and productive, but also there's patience. He shall bring forth his fruit. Look, watch this. This has tripped me up for years, in his season. Not your season, my season, my season, your season. I want to bear fruit 24, 7, 12 months of the year. But God says, no, there's a season for fruit. There's a harvest time. So it's patient. It's willing to wait. It's willing to grow and go on knowing that the season's coming, that I'm going to be able to be productive and be patient waiting on that. And then it's persevering. The Bible says there, his leaf shall not wither. His leaf shall not wither. Your leaf is that which is visible. It identifies what you are. Amen. That same verse in Psalms 92, 12, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Here's what the rest of it says. And shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Shall grow like the cedars of Lebanon. Guess what a cedar is? Boy, it gets deep, preacher. You asking us what a cedar tree is. It's an evergreen. His leaf shall not wither. It's an evergreen. Doesn't matter what month, week, day, season. Brother Mark mentioned season this morning. It doesn't matter if it's cold. It doesn't matter if it's hot. Guess what? They're evergreens. It's green today. It'll be green tomorrow. It'll be green next month. It'll be green the month after, next year, and the year after. Why? You can count on it. God's people are evergreens. We're to bear our fruit, and our leaves shall not wither. We're persevering. We're persevering. And then last, we're prosperous. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth will have the blessings of God on it. Amen? There'll be some effectiveness. There'll be some fruit and evidence in your life. And God says he will bless you. But we want that last statement made of verse 3 without going through verse 1 and 2. And without the growing of the tree, perpendicular and growing tall and all that. Amen.